Now we're going to talk about worry. And if you don't go away with anything else, go away with this phrase from Matthew 6:32. Your Heavenly Father knows. Isn't that what we need to remember? Our Father knows. And all of the things that we worry about. And I'm not going to say to you that worry isn't sinful. Worry is sinful. But I think it sort of comes with the territory with women, because we are so very attached to particularly people and the relationships in our lives that, you know, I know exactly what it's like to wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning and worry and wonder and why aren't they here and where are they and what could possibly have happened to him. I know exactly what that is. What we all need to remember is our Heavenly Father knows. So does worry really need to be defined? Not really. I mean, we're all pretty good at it. I don't need to tell any of you about how to do it. I already know that. Just for curiosity's sake, how many of you would say that you struggle with worry? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Good. How many of you are liars or just don't care about raising your hand right now? I think most of us struggle with worry. Perhaps we don't, but I think most of us do. I think it's the propensity of our hearts to have treasures here on earth. And I'm not necessarily talking about my new car or something. I don't have a new car, but, you know, I do have treasures here on earth. And as much as I know about not having treasure here on earth, not valuing treasure here on earth, I also know that I have treasure here on earth. And I can tell what my treasure is by what the things are that I worry about. So if you're wondering what your treasure is, and we're going to get to this, but just generally, if you're wondering, do I have treasure here on earth? I don't know. How would I know? Think about the things that you generally worry about. Those are your treasures. And Jesus very pragmatically said, if you have treasure here, you're going to worry. And the reason for that is that there is such a thing as moths and rust and thieves, right? We live in a world, we live in a sin-cursed world where everything is not as it should be. And I'm really sure that Adam and Eve didn't need to worry before the fall, but now we have to worry. We don't have to worry, but we do worry because we have treasures. So biblically, worry or anxiety needs to be drawn in different means to be drawn in different directions. Isn't that what worry feels like? This might happen. Oh, then this might happen. And really be distracted from what it is that you need to be attending to by thinking about what might happen, or what Jay used to call rabbit paths, right? I got so many little rabbit paths in my mind, and just being distracted away from what I should be focused on. So it means to be drawn in different directions, to be distracted, to have anxious or distracting care. It means to be concerned, troubled, or uneasy. Uneasy. You know, sometimes do you have that sort of what I want to call free-floating anxiety? You don't really know why, but you just kind of feel a little bit uncomfortable. And, you know, there's something sort of troubling you there, kind of gnawing at the back of your mind, but you can't really get to it. You know, we all know what it's like to feel anxious. Means to disturb the peace of mind or afflict with mental agitation or distress, to think moodily or anxiously about something. All right, well, we all know what worry is. What I want to do with you today, however, is propose to you a way of counseling people who struggle with worry that is something, if you will, more than stop worrying. You guys have seen the Bob Newhart? Okay, well, some of you have. There's a really lovely skit that Bob Newhart does when he did when he was a psychologist or a psychiatrist, and some girl comes in and she says, I'm afraid that I'm going to be buried alive in a box. And basically his counsel to her is, stop it! Just hysterical. I don't know. If you YouTube, you can go on YouTube and Bob Newhart, stop it, and be real careful what you watch on YouTube. But, you know, you can go there and watch this. It's just hysterical. But what I want to say to you is, as biblical counselors, we need to do something more than this. You know, and if you will, even something more than put this off and put this on. Okay? And there's nothing wrong with saying to a person, put this off and put this on. But I think that a lot of what we do, or I shouldn't say that about you. A lot of what I did in my counseling was put this off and put this on, and I forgot an entire teaching of Scripture. So what I want to do is I want to give you a gospel-centered approach to worry. Now, when I talk about this, what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about gospel declarations and gospel obligations. Now, theologians have other words that they use. What theologians use are indicatives. Okay, that's, you know, indicatives. What does Scripture indicate about you? What does Scripture declare about you in your union with Jesus Christ? What are the indicatives or the declarations about you in Scripture? And then look at what a theologian might call an imperative, the commands. So we have indicatives, imperatives, or what I have called declarations and obligations. What we want to do is not be women who are counseling other women and all we talk about is gospel obligation. It's not that the obligations aren't there. That's not what I'm saying. Okay? I haven't given up my NANC card. But what I am saying is this, that we are missing the very ground, motivation, foundation, reason to obey if we forget or assume the declarations. If I assume, when I say to my counselee, you need to stop worrying and put on this, and I'll go to Philippians 4 just like you will. Okay, so put on these things and put off your worry and anxiety. If I assume in that counseling center or session that she is thinking, consciously thinking and remembering about her union in Jesus Christ, I think I've failed her. And so my question to you is the question I'm asking everybody these days, including myself, in our desire to help people change into godliness, have we left Jesus behind? So now, how would I do that? So, listen to the declarations, okay? I'm going to talk to you about the obligations, but you know what? My guess is, if I said to you, how do you counsel somebody who's got worry? You can already tell it to me, right? I mean, you already know it. You're track 3. So you've got Matthew 6, and you've got Philippians 4, and you've got 1 Peter 5. You've got all these verses already down. You know them. My question to you is, are you taking also the declarations, those declarations, the things that God has said about you because you are in Christ, the things that God has said about you because you are in Christ, because you are in union with Him, because you have been justified, because you are His child through justification by faith? Are you taking those things into the counseling room with you as well? And if you're not doing that, then the very motivation and power and courage to change will not be what it should be. And you can have people come in and say, oh, I really need to stop worrying. I'm really plagued by my worry. And you'd say to them, let's talk about the gospel. what?